Welcome to the Eat the Evidence podcast, a show for cake and cookie decorators and sugar artists of all kinds. I'm your host, Kimberly Chapman, and this is episode number 45 on September 19th, 2019. On today's episode, the amazing Dawn Butler of Dinky Doodle Designs joins me to talk about her products, getting the family involved in all aspects of design, where to shop in the UK for unexpected cake supplies, and making cakes for royalty. So whether you're making something for the little prince or princess in your life, working hard to get client orders out the door, or getting your cake international entry ready, let's get this show started to inspire and educate you on your sugar arts journey. Joining me now is one of the cake world's true innovators, the owner of Dinky Doodle Designs, plus a renowned teacher and cake artist in her own right, the one and only Dawn Butler. Yay!
Hello!
I'm so excited you're on!
Oh, Kim, thank you for having me.
Well, you know I worship you.
It's fantastic to have been asked. It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Well, I love your stuff. I love your energy. I love watching you at CI when you come up with something new and it's like all this technical stuff, but then it's coming. But the way you distill all this technical stuff down for the people who don't understand technical stuff, like, oh, you're brilliant. I love you.
I don't understand technical stuff. I don't know what you're on about.
Well, maybe that's why you're so good at actually, like, when you do that. So, okay, let's talk about some of the stuff you make. What have you got out right now? What's new and exciting?
Okay, so the Dinky Doodle Airbrush, obviously, is probably what I'm best known for. That's changed pretty recently in the past sort of 18 months to 2 years in the fact that it's something that I'm doing sort of solo-handed, so all on my own. Rather than using a licensing company or somebody else to produce or help me distribute that, everything's done just as me. So that's something that I'm sort of super proud of, and it's doing really well, which I love. I've just about to bring out the new accessory pens that go with it. So an airbrush basically has usually one standard airbrush pen that's included with the kit, but I wanted to give people much more than that. There are different pens for different jobs, different size needles, different size cups. And whilst you could change them on your own, people don't know how to. So actually, I thought it'd be really cool if I just came up with something that was already done and that people just could pick up and use, because quite frankly, life is too short to be faffing around with all sorts of stuff. So I'm trying to make stuff really easy. I think that's my ethos. Make it easy. How can we just pick up, use something and have success with it? And I absolutely love that. So those are out, and there is a hot pink one. There is a teal coloured one and a purple one. And the great thing about it is too, is that you always get a chance to update stuff and do new stuff. And what's lovely is if you've got a perfectly good working airbrush and you don't want to buy a whole new kit, then you can just update it with a super snazzy pen, which I think is always fab.
Are they like different actions or?
Yeah, so everything's a single action with me. Forget the brand. There are only two types of airbrush in the world, the single action and the dual action. And when I decided to design an airbrush that was suitable for cakes, I thought that a single action would be better for people to have success. A dual action airbrush is absolutely amazing, a great piece of kit, but it's meant for professional airbrush specialists. Mm-hmm. And none of us are that, are we, when we're cake decorators? We do a little bit of flowers, a little bit of modelling, and a little bit of airbrushing. If we're honest, those, I can hear you all now listening to this podcast saying, yeah, I've got an airbrush. If I ask the question, do you ever use it? The answer would be, no. I'm embarrassed to say, I've had it for 2 years, never picked it up, all those kind of things. So a single action airbrush really, I felt, was an easy way to get hold of it. The pink one has what we call a sort of larger needle, a 0.4, which basically essentially has a larger hole to it. So more colour can get through, or thicker colour can get through.
Ah.
And I've therefore given that a larger cup. It's got a 9cc cup on it. Most airbrush pens you'll find have either a 3 or a 5. Mm-hmm. So you can tell already that it's just a little bit bigger than that, and it's lidded. Now, all the cups come off, so you can interchange them all. And that one is, you can recognise that by being hot pink. And I'll come on to the colours in a minute. Now, I've now brought out a purple one. It's like a deep, rich purple, really lovely. That one has a 0.3, so that's what we call a standard size needle. That's got a sort of a larger cup than initially was available through the Dinkadoodle Airbrush. So that's got a 7cc, and that you would use as either a spare pen or it's your bog standard projects. It's nothing that's too large, but also could do your stenciling. Then we've got the teal, and the teal is the bad boy. That has got a 0.5 needle. So that is the largest capability. You're going to be able to get all your cocoa butters through there, ooh, all sorts of thick metallic colours that people struggle with. And it's got a whopping 17cc cup. As I said, all those cups are interchangeable and they're all lidded. Now, the reason that they're coloured is not because it makes them look pretty, although they do. Some people want to collect them just by colour. But for me, I'm dyslexic and I'm severely dyslexic. And I learnt how to do stuff at school by attaching my brain to something that I could remember. So for me, I associate certain colours means certain things. So actually, you don't need to worry about the needle size. If you look at the cup size and see that the airbrush is a different colour, you know that it does a different job.
Mm.
So, yeah, and I've got a holder then that will hold all three. You'd see me probably in tutorials where I might be airbrushing one thing, one colour, and instead of switching out the airbrush or cleaning through the airbrush, rinsing it through, washing it through with water, I can actually click off with the easy release connector, switch to the next airbrush pen, have the next colour in it, and I can come back to the other colour that I was doing before.
Julia Usher did a whole video on how much money, how much you can pay for, particularly for cookies, for cookiers.
Yeah.
Because that's her thing, right? She did a whole video on if you invest in more airbrushes that you can switch out, and then when you're doing a bunch of stenciling and more stencil genies, and if you would lay them all out assembly line style, if you are doing hundreds of cookies for an order, it's a couple of orders pay for those extra airbrushes.
Yeah, and she is absolutely right. Thank you very much. That's superb advice. Yeah, no, she's absolutely right. For me, I'm sort of looking at my whole new, we'll come to classes in a minute, but they're all about commercial. They're all about how to make money, mm-hmm. how to be impressive, how to be smart, work smarter, not harder. And the fact that you can literally just click out these pens, one at 3 a.m, one of them's going to block. You're not going to want to fix it when you're under a deadline. So to switch it out and move on to the next one is great. And the fact that you can actually have the right tools for the right job makes the job so much easier. And at $34.99, so I don't know what that works out in dollars, but they really are just an added benefit that you're going to see so much more out of than the cost you actually paid for.
Yeah, because it's not like you need to buy an individual compressor. I think a lot of people, if you don't know about airbrushes, there's a compressor and a hose and a brush. And compressors can be, especially if you're getting, if you're talked into a really expensive, huge one, they can be really expensive. Or there are the smaller ones that aren't as expensive. And if you have that, if you can swap out the actual brushes, or as in your case, you're saying the cups.
Yeah.
That's going to speed up everything.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Completely and utterly speeds it up with the fact that, yes, you've invested in not something that we're talking that would get used for graphic designers. So this is my point. So not a dual action airbrush that's going to cost you hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pounds that you're never going to see a return on your investment. What the Dinkadoodle airbrush does is allow you to produce really professional results without breaking the bank. And those little added extras will just speed up everything no end and actually increase your hourly rate, which, guys, is that not what it's all about?
Right. Yeah, well, definitely if you're selling cakes, yes.
Absolutely. By the same token, even if it's something that's a hobby, it's just fun to be able to. I can mix colours like an artist, so it's much like having a palette at your fingertips. And instead of a paintbrush, obviously it's the airbrush. But the fact that you can switch out between those, mix up colours, but still leave the first initial colour that you had in one of the cups, mix something out with the next one, and you've not lost that original if you ever need to go back to it. So it's great fun.
It's going to save on your colors too, because that's when I don't airbrush often. Obviously, I don't sell cakes often, but you know, I do airbrushing for entries and whatever. I use mine. I do. It's not often, but I use it. But when I have to switch colors, I'm feeling like super penny pinchy frugal that I don't want to waste what's in the cup. So
no, and you're absolutely right, and that causes two problems. One is you look at what's still left in the cup. And you go, oh, I've got a little bit left. And you carry on airbrushing.
And you do
too much. And before you know it, that gentle shading that you were hoping was going to happen, the whole cake's turned entire blue because you've just gone too far because you've got that little bit left and you think, oh, I don't want to waste it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, wouldn't it be amazing if everybody would just take off the lid to the bottles and pour the colours back? But what if you've mixed those colours? What if they're contaminated? So having different size cups, that was the other point as well to the different size cups, was that everybody wanted a bigger cup. I need a bigger cup. I need a bigger cup. And actually, I find that in most instances, what I might well do is use the teal pen that has the larger hole in order because I'm using a thicker colour or I want to get it on quickly, but I don't need 17cc. So I can switch it out with the 7cc, never overfill, and then never waste anything.
That's awesome. That teal one intrigues me because I think I get a gold star because I've never actually had my airbrush clogged. And that's because I clean it.
That's a triple gold star.
Oh, yeah, it's because I clean it out properly every time when I'm done.
Correct.
Because I don't want to be 3 o'clock in the morning. I know that pain from others, and so I do the whole thing. I disassemble, unscrew the back, clean the needle. Also, honestly, it's a cheap airbrush. It's one I got at a craft store in the U.S. a long time ago. It's not fancy. It suits my purpose. Right.
No, but that's my point, is the fact that you're exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You're not using an airbrush all day, every day. So you bought something that suits your purpose.
Yeah.
And you're airbrushing a small amount of the time. But when you use it, you want to be able to get on with it, mm-hmm. airbrush, and put it back away in the box. If it was any more complicated for you than that, and whether that's learning how to clean it or not understanding when it's broken, you wouldn't bother, would you?
Right, exactly. And... Yeah, and I'm so paranoid about it. When I bought your Sparkle, your Dinky Doodles, the silver glitter airbrush stuff, and I thought, oh, this is going to be a test. like if anything's going to clog it, glitter, and it didn't clog it. And that's I posted a review, and I cannot talk about that product enough.
I remember it. You were so excited.
Every once in a while, it'll come up in conversation, and someone will say, oh, I hate doing this because, you know, like if you use the spray bottles, then they clog up, and then like half the product's gone or whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, so just get the Dinky Doodle stuff. And they're like, what? And I'm like, I know, right? They're like, what?
I think a lot of it comes from the fact that there's a lot of products out there, and there's a lot of products developed by large companies, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm a cake decorator, mm-hmm. so I wouldn't make anything or put my name to anything that I didn't truly kind of want to use or felt that, you know, was needed in the world. So when I come up with something, I'd like to think that I've done it and it works. I'm a problem solver. I don't know whether you remember or not, but I was a police officer for a long time. Before I was a cake decorator. So solving problems is kind of what I love to do. And I've just turned that into cake problems now. So whatever it is that I think we need, that's it. I just go, right, let's go for it.
It's slightly less dangerous than cake.
Slightly.
Slightly, yes.
only ever so slightly.
Yes. People probably still whine at you just as much.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I have to say I work harder now than I've ever done. Because whilst I used to work long shifts before, at some point you would clock off and come home. And I joke with people when I sort of say, if you buy my products, the customer service is great. I'm available 23 and a half hours a day. And they think I'm joking.
Well, you should be joking.
I know. I got an email this morning from a customer with they'd lost part of the end of their airbrush and they wanted a new needle. Now, this airbrush, they've sent me a picture of it. I know for a fact that they bought it 6 years ago. And I replied at 7:30 on a Saturday morning that basically said, yeah, it's no problem. Absolutely. Give me your address. I'll send you a new one. And they just couldn't believe it. But that's what you get when all your emails and everything else is on your phone, which is in your trouser pocket. And everything matters. Everything matters. Every day I wake up and I say to myself, I don't ever want to stop doing what I'm doing. So how do I keep doing what I'm doing? And if I've got customers, then hopefully I'll be able to stay what I'm doing and I won't have to get a proper job again. Don't ever make me go and get a proper job.
I think the amount you work, I mean, because I've seen you at your booth at CI. You work.
Yes, we work. But then, I mean, bless them, that any staff that come and work on my stand, it's sink or swim. They think perhaps when I put out an advert to begin with, it's going to be fun. And you can tell those that are, you know, sort of, oh, goodness me, when are we going for lunch? Or when are we doing this? It's like lunch, it's lunch.
Yeah.
It genuinely just doesn't happen. So the ones that kind of stay and stick with it, honestly, I couldn't do it without them. They're the ones that make me look good. They're the ones that keep everything. I've never met a group of girls, I just say girls, sorry, but I've generally only ever had ladies working for me. I've never seen anybody work as hard for someone else as they do. You know, when it's your business, you expect that from mm-hmm. me. That's what I should be doing. But honestly, they are there first thing in the morning and they are still there at 8 o'clock at night and they come back the next day. And without people like that, then I couldn't do what I do. So, and I suppose my husband at this point needs a mention because, bless him, it's him that packs up the van or the car or, you know, him that just picks up all the pieces and looks after the kids when I'm not around. Although they're now getting a big boys. I don't know whether you've probably seen photos on Facebook of my two.
Yes, I have. Yeah, because yours are older than mine.
So Daniel is now 14. He's my eldest and taller than 6 foot.
Yeah.
He clearly didn't get his genes from me. And Matthew is coming up to 12. And those two, I book what we would call exciting trips when it's the school holidays. So they now get to come with me. And they're the most well-traveled boys in the world. And I just, it started to be that I'll be teaching or doing something and they're there and they're helping. And then it's time to go home. And I usually now, it's at that point that I've got to clean up. And I turn around and they've loaded the car and mopped the floor.
Aww.
They're just, honestly, absolutely phenomenal. I had a class at the weekend at home and I broke my rule of working in some holidays because I don't do it. I'm a mum first, unless the boys are coming with me. And I'd lost Daniel to rowing. He was rowing and Matthew was at home. And I said, look, if I teach, do you want to earn some pocket money and come and work? And, you know, he heated up ganache when it needed heating. He loaded the dishwasher. He even made mold and salt and olive oil little new roast potatoes.
I know.
And then just kind of helped me clean up, put all the airbrushes away. And it was an absolute pleasure. I don't know which was more pleasure, the fact that he was with me or the fact that students said how amazing it was that he was with me and how much he was enjoying it. So whilst I don't see any of them taking on the family business or really seriously going into cakes, we're having real fun at the moment because they're just being a part of that journey. And it doesn't matter to me whether I make any money at the end of it. I've ended up spending it all on their flights and hotels, but we are having an absolute blast. So long may it continue.
That's awesome. That's so amazing.
Yeah, it's special, you know. It really makes everything that I do worthwhile. And they share such a big part of it with me. They're a part of everything. The colour choices of the new pens that I'm talking about, the classes, they'll come up with ideas and everything gets shared. Nothing gets kept back from them. You know, what do you think about this? Or this is the deal, guys. I've been, you know, invited to this place to go and teach, but it'll mean this. Do I go? Do I not go? And they help me make all of those decisions and they see how hard it is. Daniel is as severely dyslexic as I am. And you know what? He never uses that as an excuse. It isn't an excuse. It certainly never was when I was in the police. I just realised I had to work 10 times harder than everybody else. And Daniel's doing the same thing. And whether he goes into cakes or into the world of politics, who knows where he's going to head. But I just know that what I'm providing for him is the ethos to just get up off your backside and go and work, and anything therefore is achievable.
That's awesome. Didn't one, I might be misremembering this, but didn't one of them design one of the cakes with one of your carryable stands?
Yes. So they, bless them, they come up with the most amazing ideas. They've designed more than that. I mean, the new handbag kit that I've got out that you can pick up and carry. Daniel would suggest ideas that I do a dragon cake with it. Matthew suggested that. the owl cake, the class that I did, one of my honestly most successful classes, I've run it all over the world. That was Matthew's idea, that he wanted me to produce a cake that was an owl with its head that turned. So there's all sorts of stuff. Daniel, when I do my remote control car classes, he has a lot of say in what the cars should look like and how right they should be, what the grille should be, where the headlights should be. And so they've got a lot of input. And what's lovely is that Daniel works the same way as me in design. So if I say I need to make something really random, and he'll say to me, Mum, have you thought about, and would it do this, and would it do that? And if you then structured it this way or structured it that way, the guy's got, you know, no idea really about how to make cakes, but he designs the same way that I do, which I think is phenomenal. Really, really, really cool.
That is cool. I mean, even just having someone to bounce the ideas off.
Yes, yeah. And I, of course, when they were little, I just didn't get that. No. Paul, my husband, bless him, is really supportive and really helpful. But quite often we'll just go, well, I don't know. I don't know. Well, I don't know. Or he's the other way and then just comes up with complete nutter his own ideas, which isn't the way that I was heading. And he'd be like, no, I think you should do it this way. And my problem was that when I used to rely on him for cutting wood or sawing or gluing or drilling, that it had to be done Paul's way or he wasn't going to help. So yeah. I very quickly learned how to use a jigsaw and a drill.
Yeah. I mean, my eldest, she's a nerd like me. So if it's a nerdy cake, she's got good ideas to bounce off her. She's a good one to say, I'll come bring her halfway through. What does this look like? Because if she looks at it and says, it's a TARDIS, it's a Dalek, an X-Wing fighter, then fine. The little one, everything's beautiful, or she giggles and says that she wants it to be poo-poo. Because she's six, and poo-poo is the funniest thing ever, and it's all, I thought it was just her, and then I saw some of her, she had a play date with some friends, and all, they were singing songs about poo, and I'm like...
Oh, it's all about the poo.
Which,
all about the poo.
I have a poo emoji cookie cutter, and I offered to make a poo emoji cookies with her, and she said, ew, that's gross, and I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Child.
Now, yeah, making you look like you're the foolish one.
That's right. Yes. I'm the disgusting one in this scenario. Child who has been singing about poo for an hour.
It's got to be the way. Always need to look at your mother like, yeah, no. You've got two heads, Mum. Don't know what you're on about.
The 13-year-old, she enjoys making her cakes now because she's old enough to do it. So we did a really cool Dalek cake last year. Although I should have come asked you about making the head turn.
Yes. Yes, you really should.
I should. But it was kind of like last minute. She took forever to decide. And then, so what we did do is I went to, I was at B&M for something else. Cause you're always at B&M for something else. It's not a high end store. And I found they have these things. I'm going to lean over from my mic, which is terrible audio because I actually have it here. It's called a water feature LED light.
Yes. Okay. I know what you're on about.
Yeah. And it's a whopping $3.99.
Oh.
So, like, it's not going to break the bank, but it's like one of these little LED light discs that you can make different colors, and you can make it change colors or whatever.
That's
so,
very cool.
So here's what I did. I had various structure parts, but I used a bit of cake frame.
Ooh.
Naked out the front. Well, actually, we covered it, but, like, for the eye stalk, because it was wide and reflective on the inside. So we buried this water light thing in the cakey Rice Krispie treat head.
Yes.
Ensured that the remote still worked. I tested, but only if you pointed it down the eye stalk. But then we stuck, like, just a floating bit of cake. Like, it wasn't... There was other structure in the... For the cake. But it was...
No, but that's the perfect thing about cake frames.
Yeah.
Hollow. It was always meant to do other stuff. So when I launched it with letting the public know about A. But I'd already designed B, C, D, and E. And the fact that it was hollow was always going to allow me to put lighting and wiring through.
Yep. And basically, what I did was I took a bunch of particularly sticky rice. Okay, I use your Rice Krispie Treat recipe that you posted however long ago on Facebook. You just posted it, like, in text on Facebook, and I copied it into my recipe file just as that text. But the whole...
Okay.
Let's tell people what it is. I don't remember it offhand. Do you know it offhand?
Well, I don't know as it was a recipe in terms of measurements, but basically, and I have a really cool video actually on YouTube for it, and I'll find you the link.
Okay, and we'll put that in the show notes.
But basically, I get a bowl full of Rice Krispie Treats, and you need a bowl full of marshmallows. You always put the marshmallows in the bowl first, put the Rice Krispie Treats on the top, then you take 1 teaspoon of margarine or butter. Usually for me, it's like a margarine, like a stalk.
Yeah.
And then put it in the microwave and stay with it. Do not leave it. I usually put it on sort of like a medium-high heat for 2 minutes. And the reason that you put the marshmallows on the bottom is that they will expand and engulf the Rice Krispie Treats. Mm-hmm. If you put the Rice Krispie Treats at the bottom and the marshmallows on the top, the marshmallows will explode out the top,
That's right.
expand to the top of your microwave, and you will never get them off. So once you've given it the 2 minutes, it should melt, and you take 2 spoons. The reason that you take 2 is you stir it with 2 so that your fingers don't touch anything else. When you've incorporated it, if it's too pink or white, if depending on the colour marshmallows you've used, then basically add more Rice Krispie Treats. If it's not coated enough, add another couple of marshmallows. But it's usually a kind of half box of cereal that's about the 500 gramish box, so about 250 grams of Rice Krispies and 1 packet, and they're usually about, I don't know, 250 of marshmallows. Then you put it in the fridge and you let it cool. Once you get it out of the fridge, take your hand in, give it a good squeeze, and if once you've squeezed it, your palms of your hands are clean, then your Rice Krispie Treats are ready to go.
Yay! Yes.
Yay! That's it.
The best part about it is because it's effectively a ratio and not a recipe. If I don't need 10 tons. Okay, sometimes I just make 10 tons because I'm going to eat it, and I shouldn't because it's, like, the worst thing for me as a diabetic, but I really like it. and that's the thing. Putting the little bit of butter or margarine in does make it nicer to eat.
Yes, I think so.
I know. I knew some cake friends back in the U.S. who would talk about don't put the butter in because you can make it more like styrofoam, and it's... Okay. If you're sawing it, yeah, because you're making styrofoam, like it's
yeah,
hard.
You are. You're making an edible styrofoam, yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
But if it's in a cake that you're serving, someone's going to want to take a bite out of it. So why not make it nice to eat?
Yeah, I mean, I always worry about. I have a thing about Rice Krispies now, that people, the minute that you cover them in either ganache or a sugar paste or a fondant, if you're in the States, they just can't cope with it. They will eat Rice Krispie Treats if they're cut into cubes, drizzled with chocolate and put on a plate. Put them in the middle of a cake and they can't cope. Mm-hmm. So we need to make them as appealing as possible. And if they are eating this styrofoam cardboard, they're not going to know what the heck they've got. So, yeah, you do need to make them nice and edible.
Yeah.
Because customers just can't cope. They don't know what it is because you've disguised it.
Right. And also, because when you've made that little extra that you don't need, you want to eat it.
it's
baker's treat at that point.
Absolutely right.
But yeah, no, that's I only use your recipe all the time because I always had to go look. It used to be I would go look up. What's the ratio? What does the old Kellogg's box say? All right, but let me go find. And of course, I'm not using Kellogg's. I'm using Waitrose or Tesco. If I'm right, I'm using the cheap stuff.
That was because you're using Waitrose, really?
I know, right? Well, because I order from Mikado, so that's it's basically. We have a highway problem here.
Hang on a minute. I was going to say you're using Waitrose Rice Krispie Treats, but you shop in B&M.
That's
your priorities all wrong.
I think I shop at B&M twice a year, but for the
funky little things that they've got, the little flashing lights.
Yeah,
honestly,
well,
it's the reason I go into the Range.
The Range? I don't know that one. Where's the,
oh,
what?
You do not. Oh, you need to go to the Range. The Range is amazing.
Okay, I've never even heard of this brand. What is this a?
What's, have you not?
No, I don't think we have one in Cambridge, or if we do, I don't know about it.
Oh, well, I tell you what, everybody, you need to tell him where the Range is near Cambridge because it's amazing. It's
okay.
Like Hobbycraft.
Okay.
But cheaper.
Oh, okay.
And it also sells home decorating stuff. It sells really random things. Like, in fact, at the moment, I am sat looking at a 3-foot gin glass that I got from the rain. For no other reason than I could. It gets filled with sweets at Easter, or I think one day I might need it for a cake. You know, it's that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's how you justify it.
Yeah, it's just got... You know, when everybody was going nuts over the Beauty and the Beast cakes, and everybody was searching for glass domes to put a rose in?
Yes, yes.
Well, they would have done one, but it would have been £3, and gigantic. So it's just kind of one of those places that you really need to discover.
Okay, I just Googled where it is. And if you look at the map of locations, Cambridge is like in the middle of a triangle of three of them. But it's Bury St. Edmunds, Peterborough, and Luton. So, like, it's relatively far. So we don't have one.
Well, when you're heading in one of those three directions,
okay,
you need to take it in one of your trips. Or at least they've got an online web shop, so have a look there first. I'll tell you where the other great place is.
Uh-huh.
Whittington's.
That I've heard of, but I don't know. I don't think we have one. Cambridge is super weird.
You're far too intellectual in Cambridge.
That's exactly it. It's because Cambridge is a really small town that happens to be super famous because of the university.
Yeah.
That's part of why I don't sell cakes, because there isn't the market. And kind of, we're almost a suburb of North London now.
Yes.
So nobody, even when there's like a satellite office here for Microsoft or whatever, they don't do events here. They do it at their London office.
Yeah, so
there's no corporate cakes.
All sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
But Whittington's is a floristry wholesaler's.
Okay.
And it sells the most amazing stuff. So it sells all of those little lights that we were just talking about, the underwater submersible things, loads of stuff for weddings. It sells all sorts of gift bags and ribbon. You know, it might sell 20 metres of ribbon for £1.99. And I actually have taken to, if I need a dummy in a particular shape, I go and buy the, and it's not for eating, of course, it's just for, you know, a showpiece, a competition piece, or whatever else. I buy their flower oasis because it's so much easier to carve than polystyrene.
I can see that you have one in Nottingham. My closest one would be, just at the top of London.
Really?
Yeah.
That far away? That's
not good.
There's
one in
Norwich. Although they are online, so.
Yeah.
Anybody that doesn't have one near them, they need to check it out online because, again, their stuff is really cool. So anybody that's doing loads of weddings, that wants to dress up a wedding, dress up a wedding cake, dress up a dessert table, they've got everything that you'll ever need. They've got the most beautiful mirrored plates that are good cake boards that might have diamonds in them. Not real. they've got all of those great bejeweled things. They've got great big glass vases. They've got all sorts of things, but really, 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 really cheap. So well worth it if you want to go and dress up a wedding event, or you're looking at doing wedding cakes next year and, you know, want to do sort of wedding fairs as such. That's where you need to go and get all your table decorations from.
That is super useful. Thank you.
Because you're very welcome.
It is hard being an immigrant in a country where you speak the language so everyone assumes you know.
Yes.
Right? And, like, I watch ads on Channel 4 TV, and they advertise things for brands and they assume I know what the brand is.
Yes.
And
yes,
do you know, it took me an entire Christmas season to figure out what Very was? I'm like, Very what?
They don't explain it, do they?
No, they're just like, they show a bunch of stuff and then they're like, very.co.uk. I'm like, but what is it? Like, are you a shop? Are you a brand? I ended up Googling it. It's a shop that has lots of weird stuff.
Yes.
But I didn't know that.
You're never going to, never going to get that money in the bank. So tell me, are you still on chips or are you now on crisps?
Okay, it depends on who I'm speaking to.
Okay.
Because, again, my older one is effectively American and my little one is totes British.
Yes.
I mean, we say it that way deliberately. We're like, you're totes British. Oh, my God.
Huh?
Because then it's funnier.
You sound so funny when you say that.
Well, I'm deliberately never going to sound British because I don't want to sound like Dick Van Dyke.
Now
he has apologized for that.
So I hope so.
He has said they made him do that. So I You know, I made a post just last week about how I was sneaking them crisps from the kids, and I did post it as crisps because I thought, you know what, the Americans will understand crisps are chips. Where if I say chips,
but the British
will think I mean fries.
Yeah.
One thing I haven't changed, though, embrace yourself.
Okay.
Is pants. Pants or trousers. Like, I'm just gonna, I will constantly say to Rum, just put your pants on. And I mean trousers.
See that? Yeah, it just conjures up all sorts of image. And I actually didn't think you were going to say pants. I thought you were going to say fondant.
I do say fondant. I bet I'll say sugar paste or fondant. Like, it depends on who I'm speaking to. If I'm at Cake International and I'm talking to a bunch of my British friends and we're talking about, I'll talk about sugar paste.
Yeah, but they all say fondant. Sorry, folks. It drives me nuts. You pour fondant. And I tell you why. It's because I learned how to make cakes from the president of the British Sugar Craft Guild. And she would slap me silly if she heard me say fondant. She would absolutely slap me silly. So it's a habit. But the trouble is, I then go teaching across the world. And, of course, I then change what it is that I say. And then I get home. And then I did a British Sugar Craft demo about a week after I got home from Australia, where they call it fondant, and nearly said fondant, and all the colour sort of drained from my face. I was like, I'm not going to be allowed out of this room alive. But they forgave me, so it was okay.
You can never get it right. When I was at Icy's show, I was super newbie, and this was the show where I learned about pulling out the pleats, not pinching, and like really newbie level stuff.
Yeah.
It was my first cake show ever. I lived in Las Vegas, and there was this thing called Icy's, and they had I know how to say Icy's now. We don't say ISIS anymore, do we? We say Icy's,
no.
So we don't get arrested. But I said something about fondant, and some woman beside me, like in the row, she goes, "It's fondant," and I remember thinking, "This is what we're gonna like. Seriously, that's where we're gonna argue. What?" Like, that's important to you. And so, and then I got people here, British people, friends, who mock my pronunciation and say, fondant, fondant. And I'm like, okay, rolled icing. But then you can roll buttercream, so that's not specific.
Ready roll icing. Yeah. We can go far wrong with that. Ready roll icing.
Well, and then you meet a newbie who doesn't even know what it is. And so I just say, it's like Play-Doh, but it's icing.
Yeah, but it tastes better.
Well, it depends on if they're 6 years old or not.
Well, this is true.
And if you're buying...
Although I still find myself making mine into poo-poo quite often.
Poo-poo, that's right. Well, that was the whole thing with Robin and her constant poo-poo jokes is if you've ever looked at cake wrecks, half of it is how chocolate can never be piped in anything other than looks like poop.
Exactly. Well, I make loads and loads of cake pop mix with ganache to mold. That's, you know, when I was talking about I have an issue now with Rice Krispie Treats, so I quite often will make my cakes out of all cake, so all of it gets used, all the crumbs and everything else, and it all gets mushed up with a cake pop mix to make like a truffle.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you end up moulding it and rolling it, and everything I ever do looks like poop.
Yeah, I call it cake ball mix, cake ball mixture. Random scraps go in the freezer. If there's leftover ganache, goes in the freezer, and then the next time I need to patch up something, get it out, squish it all together, and
it's spackle. Do you know what else it's really, really good for? If you make up a batch of it, and you actually roll it in tin foil into like a log. So like you were going to wrap up a present, for instance, twist the ends, put it in your freezer. Then when you have somebody turn up for dinner, and you've got nothing to feed them for dessert, particularly if it's either the kids have got their school friends around and you've forgotten to get anything in, or your mother-in-law comes round and you've got nothing to serve. Take that out of the freezer, slice it, serve it with ice cream or custard or cream, and you've got instant dessert that they love you forever for.
Oh, my God, that sounds good.
It's superb for that.
Yeah. I mean, I have one of those cake ball roller things, and it is really cool, and it really works, but I hate making cake balls, so I never do it because they're so tedious.
I haven't made cake pops. I'm just molding, basically, just when I'm molding cakes, so it might be that... the commercial carving classes that I spoke about, the point is to these now is that they've got no structure in them. They've got no mechanics in them. They're all cake, no Rice Krispie Treats. And it's all about what you can achieve with actually going back to basics and learning how to carve properly, learning what your tools do, learning what ganache does, learning what modelling chocolate does. So loads of the stuff that I do now has got this cake pop mix in it. And of course, yeah, my freezer's pretty full, but trust me, everybody likes coming around my house for pudding.
Yeah, everyone's like flocking to Nottingham right now. Yeah. Raid your freezer.
It's that and the chocolate biscuit cake. The chocolate biscuit cake just... oh, we don't eat cake in our house anymore. We're bored. But if I make a chocolate biscuit cake and I do not make a 6-inch round spare, I am in big trouble. Big trouble. So, yeah, it's that that's very Moorish. I shall make you some for CI. Come to my stand and I shall give you a little stash. Okay. It's rather good.
Okay. Okay, so just so we're clear what this is, because I think it's the same thing I'm thinking about that Karen Keeney did a demo on at CI a couple years ago, where it's basically melted chocolate with biscuits and whatever other
yes.
stuff you want in it.
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yes, it's a no-bake. In the UK, we might call it a tiffin. Ireland, because obviously Karen's Irish, so that's, they call it chocolate biscuit cake.
Yeah, because I had never heard of this before
And there's variants of what you can kind of put in it. So I would do it at Christmas, make it look like a Christmas pudding.
Yeah.
It's really good as a solid base tier, because, of course, it's so solid, it doesn't go anywhere. But yeah, use it loads. I'm very fortunate to have been able to make it for some quite prestigious people who tell me that mine's rather good. So we've kept that recipe, particular tweaks to it, which is now a trade secret. It's a pretty, pretty good cake.
Yeah, she was talking about how people in Ireland will order that as their wedding cake.
Yes, they absolutely do. And I think it's becoming quite popular now. I don't take a lot of wedding cake orders, but the 4 or 5 that I've got this year, all of them have certainly got chocolate biscuit cake in them. Some of them were entirely chocolate biscuit cake in different flavours. And I've got to make, at the end of September, a great big ship. I can't remember the name of the ship, but it's a P&O, great big, you know, cruise liner. I've got to make that entirely out of chocolate biscuit cake. So, yeah, people can't get enough of it.
That's amazing. Well, so okay, speaking of some of the celebrities you've made for, how many are you allowed to name?
Ah, well, yeah.
You could talk about the helicopter. That was public, right?
Yes, it was. And that was just a complete and utter... I still pinch myself now, And the opportunities it's led to that were absolutely phenomenal.
I bet.
But it came about because I just won Best in Show with Einstein.
That's right.
At Cake International. And I'd flew straight out to Miami for SoFlo and was at the cake show there. And I remember getting these phone calls. And it was like 6 o'clock in the morning. My phone kept ringing. And I kept turning it off. And I ended up taking the call and sort of like, what? Good morning, it's the BBC. I was like, oh, hello. So sorry to have cut you off. So we were having this conversation. They picked up the story about me winning Cake International with the Einstein. And they'd said to me, well, where next? If you've won Best in Show, where'd you go from here? And I strategically opened my mouth, but never really thought that it would happen. And I said, I want to make Prince William fly an helicopter. And 3 days it took me to get a phone call. I was on a beach in Miami, a very rare day off. And yeah, the phone call came from somewhere not very far away from you, from where the air ambulance headquarters is.
That's right, yeah.
And they were basically opening a brand new air ambulance base at the airport. And they wanted to have a ceremony to, you know, celebrate opening the building. And said, so how would I like that opportunity to make a flying helicopter for Prince William? So that was in the April, and the cake was due. I remember it. Oh, it's ingrained in my brain. 14th of July, that cake was delivered. And I got back from Miami, and we were discussing the details. And they said, look, you know, we can't actually confirm that Prince William's going to be there. It's a charity event. We'd love a helicopter. I said, absolutely, you can have a helicopter. But no offence, but if I'm not going to get a great deal of publicity out of it and everything else, then I won't make it fly. It's going to cost me a whole heap of money. And a whole lot of testing.
Mm-hmm.
My plans were to use a drone because I'd found, and it's the reason I'd opened my mouth, I'd found this drone that was about 1,800 pounds that would lift the weight of a child. So I thought if I bought it, stripped it, and put the mechanics through cake frame, that I could then put cake around it, balance it, weight it, test it, and that we could, you know, eventually fly it. But it would take months and months of planning. So, of course, when they'd said, you know, we can't guarantee anything, I just thought, well, it's just a helicopter cake, then I'll not really think about it for a bit. And about 10 days beforehand, just sort of touch base, yes, I'm going to do this cake. To find that then the week before, exactly a week before, so the 14th of July was a Wednesday, and the Wednesday before they phone me and say, Dawn, we need to let you know that the press release is going out tomorrow. Not only will Prince William be there, but Her Majesty the Queen is entering the building, and we'd very much like to present you to the Queen. How about that cake flying? And I went,
no pressure.
No, yeah. So I said, well, I was going to use a drone, and started to explain. They went, well, we'll stop you there. Can't use a drone in an airspace. It's mm-hmm. not happening. You're going to have to think of something else. So I had seen that Christina and Phil, either a year or the year before, had done the most amazing Yoda that was levitating a three-tiered wedding cake. Did you see that?
Yes, yes. It's
So the guys are from Pivorian. If people don't know who I'm talking about, go and check them out, because they are phenomenal. But they had made a Yoda, and he was pointing at a cake, and this three-tier cake was levitating above a rock. And, of course, I knew that they'd used some sort of levitation device, some sort of electromagnet, but obviously it's got to be a pretty hefty one. So I started to do my research, and I'd said to my husband, okay, what do I do? I've now got to use this levitation unit. I'd managed to find one, and it was the same company they'd used, because they got their picture of Yoda on their website. So I'm like, well, there's a sure thing that I found where I'm heading to. Asked them if, you know, told them what my problem was and how could they help. And they said, well, funny enough, we've just made one. Now, the ones that Christine and Phil needed took 3 to 4 kilos. So it was a dummy covered in, still phenomenal, but a dummy covered in icing because of the weight. Mm-hmm. They said that they got one that they just made that would hold 10 kilos for £6,000. So I said to my husband, well, what am I going to do? Because I've now found the thing that potentially could make this thing work, but it's £6,000. And he went, well, you opened your mouth, honey. If you don't do it, it's because you can't do it, not because you can't afford to do it. So guess what? You're going to go and buy yourself a levitating device. So I paid for it Friday and had to wait for this thing to be shipped. And it arrived on Monday. Cake's going out 6 o'clock Wednesday morning.
Oh, my God.
So I got everything done that I could do. I knew that I was going to use the... I was going to make a great big cake that was about an 18-inch square, I think, and make it look like a hospital, and put the base of this levitating unit on top of that and decorate it up to look like a helipad. And then put the helicopter on top of that. Now, this unit, the base unit, weighs 5 kilos in its, on itself. And the levitating magnet weighs 2 kilos. And then I've got 10 kilos of weight. But the more weight I use, the less the gap between the two magnets. So I did everything I could on the building and got everything ready. And then started work on the Monday. I had my guy, Martin, makes all of my electronics for me. And he'd made me a rotating blade that went slow enough that it wasn't going to knock this thing off balance. Or that's at least what we hoped. But quick enough that it looked at least like, you know, it was doing something. So he made all of that for me and brought that round. And you know, you'll have felt this, when you're halfway through a cake and you're in the pit of despair, because you just think it's not going right and you don't know whether to carry on going and that it's all going to come together, or do you start again? So at 12:30 lunchtime on Tuesday, I started again.
Oh my God.
Because I just wasn't happy with where it was going.
Oh, wow.
So, literally, overnight, I put this thing together. Now I've not slept now for 3 days. And it comes to 10 to 6 in the morning on the Wednesday. And I put the helicopter on top of the levitating unit and just went, I think that looks okay. And then put it in the boot of my car. Now, I've got plans on meeting the Queen with my nails done and my hair done. Hell, I'd even got plans of meeting the Queen with clean knickers on. But none of that happened. I got myself in the car. I stuffed my hair back in these pins and thought, oh, no one will see the back of my head. And I gave myself what is called a fringe wash. Now, I don't know whether you're ever aware of a fringe wash, but that was basically me with my fringe over the sink with some fairy liquid and then drying it with the straighteners so it fries.
Oh, my goodness.
I think I burnt most of my scalp. I kind of put my hair together. But yeah, I wasn't dressed properly. I wasn't clean. It was honestly a last minute thing. But when I got down to Cambridge, and I don't know how I got down there, honestly, if there are any police listening, I was safe. I did not fall asleep at the wheel. But I was on some sort of adrenaline high, I think. But I got myself down there and everything was searched. And it was the most surreal experience that I've ever gone through. The dignitaries that were invited for the day were all contained behind roped cord outside the building. There was literally me, the staff, and Prince William inside the ambulance place all day. And he was just truly down to earth and truly lovely. And when he found out I'd been a police officer, he genuinely thanked me, like I'd personally rescued his own cat from a tree. He was just utterly, utterly adorable. The Queen was amazing. And as I said, it's just led to other opportunities that I'd never, ever, ever, ever in a million years thought were ever going to be possible. So it was a good day.
Are you in the middle of a big project right now? Are you at that dreaded point halfway along where everything looks all weird and the faces aren't quite human and the animals look like the wrong species? Or you haven't covered up the seams or there's some other part that, because it's not done yet, just looks wrong? Are you exhausted and asking yourself why? Why are you even engaged in this art form? Because you just want to go do something else, but this project is making you hate sugar? Well, remember, we've all been there. Everyone in this industry has been where you are right now, and we will all be there again. The midpoint of any project stinks. You've put in so much time and so much work, but still have so far to go. And there are a dozen other things you'd rather do right now. We all understand. But come on now. We also know how awesome you're going to feel at the end of this thing. Whatever you're making is going to be amazing. You are going to put that last piece on and stand back and be so happy with what you've accomplished. Because yeah, it's hard, but that's what makes it worthwhile in the end. So take a break if you need to, but keep on going because you rock. You are awesome. You are an artist, and this is your latest masterpiece. Woohoo! You go! You do it! You keep slogging through it, and we are all cheering you on. Yeah!
I mean, I knew that worked out okay, because I've seen the video, and I was still sitting here like, oh my god, as you told that story, because I was like, was it going to be okay? And I knew it was going to be okay. Oh my god.
Well, when I was even setting it up, I was nervous. And you know what it's like. When you come into a building with a cake, everybody swarms around you. Mm-hmm. And I've got nowhere to be on my own to say, right, is this thing actually going to work? And I was nervously playing with the magnet in my hand, talking to the Met police officers, his own private protection team. Now, of course, I was police, so there was lots of job jokes kind of going back and forth. And now, these two magnets seriously repel each other. However, if you flip it over, it seriously attracts to each other. And I was playing with these things in my hand, turned it over, and my fingers instantly became trapped between these two magnets. And I had to have the entire Met police force that were there prise this magnet off my fingers. I thought I'd broken all my fingers. Oh, and my still haven't got this thing in place. And then when I eventually get it in place, now bearing in mind, it's got these rotors that are going round, and it's got a great big long tail. So to get the centre of gravity right and it sit perfectly still, I actually, to this day, don't know how I did it. I don't know how I did it. And when I saw Christine that November at Cake International, she knelt on the floor and just went, we are not worthy. We are not worthy. She said, because only I will understand what you went through to make that cake work. And genuinely, if I'd have planned and tested it for months, it probably would have all gone horribly wrong. There is a cake god. I truly believe there was somebody there that day looking after me, because it all worked. But the funny thing is, if you've seen the video, mm-hmm. you've seen the video of the Queen entering.
Mm-hmm.
And there was me thinking that no one is going to see the back of my head. And I've stuffed it full of clips. The press are now behind me. And all I can hear is of all these press. And they're just photographing the back of my head. My face isn't on show. It's just the back of my head with these ridiculous clips. And the gentleman that is showing the Queen around the building, we were chatting to in the morning. Now, this helicopter was perfectly, perfectly still. But if I tapped the tail rudder, it went into this very gentle flat spin. And as we're discussing with the Queen, he went, "Dawn, would you like to just show Her Majesty how it moves?" And I thought, well, no, I can't. I can't move backwards because I've got the press in my way. I can't push it forwards. It's going to take her head off. So all I end up doing is going, wiggling the end of this rudder and then doing these jazz magic hands of like, look, there's nothing underneath. It's completely blank. So watch that video again and you'll laugh to see how ridiculous it was the day that I met the Queen.
See, I watched that and I, you know what I thought? I was like, wow, she's so poised. Because you did like a little curtsy and you called her your mom and you did the whole thing. And I was like, did you take training? Like, did you, or is this just something like British people are born knowing how to address the Queen?
No, and you know, it all went out the window when I met Prince William because he was in the building when I arrived. And I always do what I call the walk. And the walk is me not taking the cake in with me, mm-hmm. but assessing how many steps I've got to do, how many doorways there are, how far it is to the table, all those kind of things is what I do. So we'd gone in the building in the walk, and I was conscious of this person on my left, really tall, in flight gear. And as I looked to my left, it's Prince William,
mm-hmm.
in his flight gear, drinking tea out of a mug that says, "Will I am." So he just goes, "Hello," and everything I'd ever thought about went out the window, and I went, "All right." No.
He is such Diana's son, isn't he?
Then he flies off on a call, and we don't know whether he's ever coming back because, of course, he's on duty.
That's right.
So anyway, we get this cake up and running. Queen's not yet arrived, but everything's ready to go. I've kind of chilled out a little bit, and the helicopter relands. And all you hear is, Will, come and look at this cake. Come and look at this cake. And really politely, you can hear, "Yeah, okay. Like, I've seen a cake before, guys. I'm really not interested. I'll be there in a minute." And they went, no, you don't get it. It's a helicopter. And it flies. And then you hear, doof, 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 down the corridor. There's these great big heavy flight boots coming down the corridor. And I can't even repeat what the words out of his mouth were. But hasten to say, it made me forget all about curtsying. I nearly fell over and just about managed, "You like it then?"
That is so amazing.
It was, yeah, like I said, it's one of those that will, it'll stay in the memory box for a little while.
Just so you know, the perception of that video is that you look amazingly poised and like you know what you're doing. So if in your head everything was chaos...
It was complete, but that is the story of my life. Everything is always chaos. I make most of the stuff up as I go along. The demos that you've seen me do at Cake International, they're not planned. Some of them even, you know, Melanie Underwood will come to me and say, "Somebody's dropped out, we need something last minute." And I grab a box of stuff and I decide what I'm going to do when I get there. In fact, I might even ask the audience, "What do you want to do?"
You asked me up. Well, you asked for volunteers and no one put up their hand. And I thought, it's not fair that no one will help. So I put up my hand because I'm used to working at cake shows, right?
Yes.
So I'm used to supporting vendors and demonstrators and stuff. So I put my hand up, but that's why I have your pen because you gave me one.
I know. I'd have picked on somebody if nobody put the hand up. So
well, that's why I
but
said.
But no, it was nice that it was you.
It was. You were very sweet, and the pen is awesome. So it was. I was surprised how well that worked. I have to be honest. It just felt like something that would not work. Do you know what I mean? Like, like how could this possibly work? And then it didn't just work. It worked so brilliantly with piped cake lace throughout the nib.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's funny enough. That's what I use it most for.
Yeah.
Because you can't get gold royal icing, for instance, or whatever. And I really like it with chocolate too. But I love piping gold cake lace onto wafer paper with that thing.
I've been meaning to try putting, like... the flexible chocolate or gummy or something through it, but like keeping, you have to keep it warm somehow. That's the trick. And so that's in my stack of things to try that has not happened yet.
Yeah, and you talk about keeping stuff warm while you do it. You need to watch the space on that one. You know, I said I was a problem solver?
Yes.
Yeah, that's one of the problems I think I might just be trying to solve.
I kind of just want to be your Igor. Like, I want to just, like, try all the cool stuff that's in your brain.
It's, yeah, I mean, people say there's loads of cool stuff in my brain. It's just, there is too much in my brain. Somebody once said to me, what's it like being you? And I describe it as having 3,000 odd tabs open on Google at the same time.
Yeah.
And my problem is probably keeping my focus on one particular thing, because if another idea comes in, I just ditch it. And I've got so many that I might say, oh, we're going to do this, or I'm going to do that. And they'll be like, where is that? Or I haven't seen that. It's like, well, I got distracted with something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I wished I had a pot of money for every idea that I have, because that's the other thing, is that stuff costs so much money. The thousands and thousands that, you know, either myself or other companies that help me put into products is phenomenal. And I think that makes it quite a unique standpoint that I'm in. There are lots of cake decorators that have really great ideas. There are lots of cake decorators that think they have good ideas about a product, but they've got nowhere to start. They've got no funding. They don't know how to even go about making a product. But it's okay. It's one thing to have an idea, but to make it into a tangible, workable product that you've thought about the space that it's going to take up on somebody's shelf. You've thought about the ceiling price that that might go for. You've thought about the manufacturing costs, the physical costs, the responsibility you have as a manufacturer. Should you be manufacturing that? Should you be sourcing that product from there? Or does that hurt the environment? All of those things, and getting that out in time that there's still a trend or a need for it in the cake world is a pretty big task.
Yeah.
But I'm not done yet. There's still plenty of life in the old girl yet, so I'll keep going.
Well, and that's why I like watching your CI demos, because they're not scripted, but like, because they feel genuine. They feel like, that's what I'm talking about when I said up at the beginning, I love your energy. When you go up there and do something, there's a salesman sort of, sales lady's sort of aspect to it, but not like in the creepy used car. So
yeah,
like I don't feel like you're trying to sell to me. I feel like you're trying to make my life better with something you have.
It's passion I'm sharing. That's all.
Yes,
it wouldn't bother me if you didn't buy anything. I'm very, very fortunate that Paul's wages pay the bills.
Yeah.
And whatever I contribute is the fun stuff. And guys, it's not a lot. I'm not a millionaire. I don't think I've taken a wage in the 9 years I've been doing this. It goes on my kids. It goes on, well, you know how much stuff I just give away. It's just not money orientated. Money makes the world go round. And if anybody said to me I was a great salesman, I'm not, because I hate sales.
But
I could not knock on people's doors and sell them something.
No, me neither. It makes my blood run cold to try. And when I've done charity work, I've said to charities that I've worked for or volunteered for, I was like, I will do your database. I will do your this. I will do this. But I will not knock on doors, and I will not cold call for contributions.
No, I can't. It freaks me out.
Yeah.
I just can't do it. And no. I would... I mean, people like Cassie Brown, who had another airbrush, is very similar. Her and I would make sure a customer had gone to the other person's stand, because we just wanted people to be happy airbrushing. It didn't matter that it was a Dinky Doodle or a Cassie Brown airbrush. It just didn't matter to us. It clearly does matter. But do you get my point? The fact that it was just more important about sharing passion, and that's what I love to do. I love the fact that it astounds me that people perhaps hadn't thought of something. And if I can bring them that one little nugget of making their life easier, then that's made my year.
Like,
and that's what it's about.
Like a clear tube that happens to be a perfect Dalek eye.
Yes, exactly. Or the perfect Rice Krispie Treat recipe.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just little life hacks, little hints and tips that just kind of make the world go round. That does make the cake world a sweeter place to be, I think, because there's far too much... There's just far too much people trying to get one over on each other or trying to put other people down. And I just don't think it's necessary. Life is too short, and I'd like to go through it thinking that I've just at least made somebody's day a little brighter.
Well, you make my day brighter very often.
No, thanks, Kim.
I mean, like, well, whenever anyone, particularly in the UK, asks about airbrushes, I send them to you.
Thank you very much.
I mean, and it's, I will say, like, I don't have one. I have this ancient one I bought at Michael's. So it's I don't have one, but if I was going to buy another airbrush, it would be yours. Yes. In part because you care. You know, like, yes. I am the kind of shopper who, not just in cake stuff, I buy with not just political, but like you were just saying, environmental and sourcing and labor. I feel confident if I buy a product from you, it's not harming something. Do you know, like,
no.
Within reason, absolutely. Like, obviously packaging is packaging. We can, there's only so much we can, do you know what I mean? So I also feel like...
part of the reason that the Dinky Doodle airbrush now comes in a hard shell case that you get to keep, rather than a cardboard box or something that you can't recycle, loads of plastic inserts with stuff. I've got rid of it all.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's just got a cardboard sleeve around it. It's got, so it's a hard shell casing, but that zips up with a little handle, and that is your little carry case for your airbrush. That is the packaging. There's no plastic on the inside of it, and then it's got a cardboard sleeve, which you can pop in the recycling. I am sworn to secrecy about the new stuff that's coming out, but I will be completely and utterly just overhauling structure in cakes as we know it. And it will be so good for the environment, it's not true.
Are you launching that at CI?
We were hoping we might do, but I don't also want to rush it.
Right.
So CI this year will be looking at the new pens that we spoke about. I've got some very cool stencils coming out, which I've designed, which again are just to make your life so much easier and successful that you can pick them up, use them. They do really cool stuff. There's a few new things up my sleeve, but we might just hold off on the brand new stuff. And I say we, because it might be a collaboration with another company. I know.
I really want to know.
I know.
That will be good. I asked you about the car kits and you'd said that it was basically the price point couldn't come down enough, right?
No, it couldn't. The guys that manufacture my airbrush are absolutely brilliant. They're the best airbrush manufacturers in China. Are very, very loyal, won't allow anything that I ever take to them to be taken anywhere else. And they're really, really good guys. But they couldn't get the price point down below £35 cost to me. And then I've got to ship it. And then I've got to pay VAT and tax and duty and stuff on it.
Yeah.
So I basically need it to come in at the £10 mark for me to be able to retail it at £35 to £45, which is where I wanted it to be at.
Right, I remember you saying
it's going to be back to £100. It's ridiculous. And do you know what my research told me? My research told me was they didn't give it, but it moved. All they actually wanted was it to look like a car. And for it to have headlights in it.
The headlights were definitely cool. I mean, like, because moving is good, but how often are people going to do that? So,
but people just tell me that they just want it to have headlights and for it to stand. For it to stand on its wheels and have nothing underneath it.
Yes.
But we're making classes, for instance. There are the most amazing cake tutors out there in the world. And we're all trying to show off the most amazing things, which is brilliant. But none of that helps you commercially. So it doesn't help Joe Blogs make a cake and make some money out of it.
Yep.
So what I'm trying to now do is put everything back to basics. How can we make amazing but make it cost effective?
Mm-hmm.
And just be able to really kind of go, yeah, actually, I made money out of that. I had fun doing it. And why has no one done that before? That made my life super simple. And that's what I'm there for. But by the same token, doing it in a way that doesn't break the environment and doesn't break the bank.
And I totally admire that about you. I mean, that really, it matters. It's a big deal. Yeah. On a deep personal level, that matters.
But for me, it's just people are trying to leap so, so far ahead. We're forgetting the basics. We're forgetting, well, how do we get there in the first place? And I have always been completely wound up by cakes that don't include cake. and all these things, I always hear it at Cake International that they see these competition pieces and they say, oh my God, that's amazing. I can't believe that's cake and it's not cake. Now, that's absolutely fine. It's not cake because they've entered a competition. Mm-hmm. And the competition states it doesn't need to be. So why should it? But the Joe public, as they're walking around, don't understand that.
No, and they get really mad.
And then they get really mad with it. And it was never meant to be cake. That's absolutely fine. It's still a work of art. So they don't understand. Then you get the other half of the Joe public that see it, believe that it's cake, and believe that that's possible.
Yep.
And it's drawing back again to say, hang on a minute, we need to produce. No one's going to pay £500 for a little Billy's birthday cake. What they're going to pay is £150. So let's stop moaning that no one's going to pay £500. Let's start making cakes that are £150. But let's make them the best that we can, but let's do them quickly and let's make some money out of it. And it's changing everybody's expectations. So let's not moan at the public and say they're not willing to pay for it. Let's actually adjust how it is that we do stuff and be able to find a happy medium somewhere in the middle that basically says, well, we've made this cake and it was commercially viable and I've done it because I've got great skills.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was the consult I just had with my friend. Like I said, she wanted a mermaid cake, and I laid out costs for her. And I mean, my cake page says, don't buy from me, I'm too expensive, because I don't run. Now, I'm doing this for my friend for $120. It's an 8-inch cake with mermaid on it. I'm going to use, I talked her into the PME multi-cutter.
Yeah.
Right, the one that makes scales. We'll do that down the sides and over the board. So I don't even have to cover the board, because I'm going to cover it with the scales. And the Katie Sue mermaid mold, I haven't ever used. I have it from Cake Bag. I'm going to use that mold. I'll flip the tail around, make it vaguely 3D, put more hair on the back, sit it on a rock on the top.
Yeah.
Right. So for $120, honestly, I'm probably going to work on it a lot longer than I should because it's my friend's kid. Oh my God, I was just showing this friend of mine.
Marvelous Molds thing, the rosette ruffle flower mold thing.
I loaded it on my phone because I told her, don't ask for ruffles. You can't afford me to pay for ruffles. Because there's no way in hell. I tried ruffles once and I was like, oh, this is pain.
it's not much fun. Like I said, life's too short for most things.
Right. So that product that he has where you can have the rosette ruffles with the mold, that's genius.
Oh, I know. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I was showing this to my friend yesterday, and she saw, but I think because I loaded it, when I did the search, it came up with cake decorating company price or whatever, which was like £28, and she's like, £28? I'm like, oh no, you bake that back in one cake.
That's nothing. Yeah, you absolutely would.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so. Then people see molds as a cheap, but actually when they're used in the right way, it's... You know, you could say the same about an airbrush. What else am I going to do? Get a straw and sort of, blow it through the straw.
That sounds hygienic.
It's about the right tool for the right job. So,
yeah, no, molds aren't cheap. Okay, if we're talking about competition and you're just straight up using a mold with no creativity, then the judges aren't going to love you. Yeah. But same thing with printed edible images. I don't like it when I'm at a competition, and this has happened several times at some of the US shows, where I'm like, oh my God, look at that paint job, and you get close and then you can see the printer lines, and you're like, that's printed. Now, saying that, I have also seen some cakes and some, there was a BSG thing where someone had done some Alice in Wonderland, and they were edible images, but the way they were used was really clever and amazing. Do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't mind it there.
Yes, but then they probably, like you said, when you said Alice in Wonderland straight away, you just think, well, actually, I bet they've used them in a certain way that it needed to be that image. I've made a stack of books before, and the books were where they were open, the characters were coming to life and coming out of the books. And in The Lion and the Witch and the Wardrobe, the lion's face in the middle of the books was made out of the wafer paper pages. Now, I printed every single one of those cake books I made, I printed from page one to 150 of the actual book in case the judges flicked through and read them. And it's one of the only times that I have ever used print as it should be. But I couldn't have written it like that.
No.
It had to be a printed book.
Yeah, so that's different.
You know, an edible image as such, even though it was on wafer paper, was the only way that you were ever going to go with it.
Yeah, or like Debbie Gord's cakes where she does like the products that look like real things.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure she's not hand painting those logos. She's using She's doing expert level printing.
A lot of edible images, but she uses it in the right way.
Yeah,
because that's what
that's different.
Every one of those cakes she's made for a customer. It's commercial.
I know. And she's not a billionaire either, and it offends me that Debbie Gord is not a millionaire.
Like, I know.
She's just...
I know.
Yeah, she's so underappreciated, I know. Okay, I have a question for you.
Okay.
And if this is too controversial, you can refuse.
Okay.
As the person who made that Einstein cake, how do you feel about the ban on pasta at cake shows?
Well, I'm wondering whether I've got anything to do with it.
Okay, because I had used my first CI in 2014 and for hair. And I hadn't seen it done before that, but I did that. But then there was yours and there was Molly's orangutan.
Yes,
those were genius.
That was after mine.
Yeah.
I think I sort of used mine in a slightly different way in the terms of the fact that I'd steamed it and I'd airbrushed it and I'd really kind of made, you know, a lot out of it as such. Because I'd done it the year before with Ned Stark.
Right.
And I'd done the beard that was what started it. I wanted to make this severed head, and of course he's got a beard, and I didn't want the beard to not look real. It had to look exactly as a beard would. So it was the only way that it was going to work. But it was the egg noodles that I'd used.
Mm-hmm.
And I got gold, so I wanted to make another head, and of course then used the rice noodles instead of the white noodles. And thought, well, who can I make that's got white hair? And I thought, hang on a minute. I need to make Einstein. He's the most famous crazy white-haired person. And then, from there, I think they just... things need to move on. I don't know whether they're trying to push people to use something different, whether they just feel it's all been seen. I do know that judges really, really like to... even though we already discussed that you go around Cake International, a lot of it's not cake... they mark it really highly if it could have been, if it was capable of being.
Yes.
And you would not have wanted to eat Einstein or Ned Stark because essentially it was dry, raw noodles. So I don't know whether that's one of the reasons that actually, you know, it's not something that you would kind of want to eat. So it's, you know, I'm contemplating and toying with entering Cake International this year. But it's got me playing with all sorts of other things instead.
Mm. Because I've been very vocal on the podcast that I'm against the ban. I understand some of the issues that have been raised, but like one of the BSG shows I entered where I got gold in the trophy, I made Jack and Jill, and for the pails, a cupcake thing, for the pails, that particularly the ones that are spilling. So I had gelatin formed that was, the gelatin is supporting the pail. So it looks like it's pouring out, but it's actually holding up. But all the pail handles were vermicelli noodles that I basically...
they're perfect for that kind of thing.
Yeah,
it does bother me as to why a ban.
That a full ban is a problem. A CI, I did a thing where there was a Christmas tree fallen over, and the central support of the Christmas tree, I used spaghetti noodles because I was going for 100% edibility above the board.
Yes.
And they told me they didn't care. And it was the next year that the pasta ban came out, and I'm like, but... all the arguments that I hear for banning it would ban wire as well, and they're not going to ban the wire.
I know. I don't...
I've always been curious how you felt about that with the...
if it was, for instance, I completely understand. There's a whole always controversy about the carved cakes and the no structure in the carved cakes and what classes of structure, not classes of structure. I remember Rose Cake Diva did Mermaids, and she'd used spaghetti in the support to the neck. And there was a whole massive hoo-ha about whether that support was there for support, therefore it shouldn't have been used. And I remember Ben had done a figure that he'd used, we'd done a bust in the carved cakes where he'd used Rice Krispie, like a column, as support for the head. And, you know, so I know that we're all getting smarter or more cunning, or the way that we use stuff, so the judges are then having to keep changing things to say, well, hang on a minute, that wasn't what we meant you to do with it. But I wonder sometimes, because they don't then tell us what they are looking for, we were a bit misguided. And I think in a decorative exhibit or something where you're not allowed to use internal supports that aren't edible, where do we go?
Yeah, I mean, if they want to ban it in certain...
they're just looking for something that is like, you know, the classes I'm talking about, like commercial carving, that it's going back to basics, but I would always use spaghetti in a commercial carving class if it required support, because that's what spaghetti was there for. We've been using it since the year dot. So, it confused me a little, and I'm a bit worried about... I'm playing with other stuff and using other stuff, but sometimes it's just relevant.
Yeah, I mean, if they want to ban it in some categories, yes, I'm fine with that. I'm totally fine with any show saying, in this category, we are looking for a specific thing, so we don't want you to do X, Y, Z, because we're looking for a specific skill.
Yes, I'm totally down with that.
But the blanket ban across the board made me think, well, so I can't even do pail handles. Like,
oh, there are things I've not even thought of yet that I can no longer do it with.
You know,
you're absolutely right. You might sort of work your way through a design, think everything's perfect, and then the one thing, like your Jack and Jill, the pails were the whole part of Jack and Jill.
Yeah.
They're not Jack and Jill without a pail.
Right. Well, I mean, because that particular category, you had to do 6 cupcakes of depicting a nursery rhyme. They all had to be different, because I know sometimes the categories you have to be identical, which terrifies me. And those who do it, I'm always amazed when they make their 6 identical, or 3 identical and then 3 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And those are good rules because they lay it out. But I feel like with the pasta ban, it's this blanket ban, but then you're also not being rewarded for being 100% edible.
No, that's right. There's always, always going to be controversy around rules and competitions.
Yeah.
And whilst sometimes I don't understand them, when I decide to enter, I've decided to enter wholeheartedly. And whatever it is that they've decided upon, then that's what I'll adhere to. And I also decide to take their feedback. So I will take it on the chin that they don't like my subject matter when it's a gruesome severed head, because I've entered their competition, and that's what I need to remember.
Yeah.
That it was no one else's, it's their rules, and I just need to learn how to understand them.
It's time for a podcast helpful reminder. Are you working on a competition piece? Are you working on a client cake? When was the last time you checked the rules for your competition entry? When was the last time you read your client contract to make sure that you're spelling that name right? You're working really hard, I know, but every once in a while, you need to pause, go check that you're doing it right, because you're an amazing artist, but we all make mistakes. So right now, if you can pause, go check what you need to do, make sure it fits in the space that it needs to go into, make sure everything's spelled right, and then get back to work, because you're awesome.
Looking at the time, thinking I need to let you go to bed eventually, because you have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to answer an email.
I shall start my emails probably in about an hour with a cup of coffee before going to bed.
Well,
actually, I've got a tutorial. I've got a Christmas tree to make at some point, either tonight or tomorrow morning. So I may get on with that. You never know.
I mean, have you considered cloning yourself?
Do you know, it would be, yeah. I do find that probably... my problem is I must be a control freak, because I can't hand it to somebody else and let them do it. And it's not because I don't think they'll do a good job. It's just, why should anybody else do my crap? So I end up doing it myself. I pack and pick every single order that leaves the house. I update the website. I update my Facebook page. I answer all my emails. There is no one else. And as I said, it's not because I don't trust anybody. It's not. It's partly because I've never taken a wage. I don't know whether there's enough money in the company to pay anybody else. It's about, I could never give anybody else a job that I should be doing myself.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
So I just get on with it. It takes longer to explain how you want stuff done, doesn't it, than just
go
on and kind of do it. And the stupid little things that I write a note on everybody's forms, that the little orders that go out, And there's loads of customers that just keep coming back. And one of them, you know, I knew was going on holiday, and a little note that just says, hope your holiday was okay. Or, you know, just little things. A customer will order something, and I know that they ordered it last time. So did they really need that, or did they need something else? And a little note. And you can't explain any of that to anybody else. It's just something that you know and that you do. So,
yeah
I shall always work 23 and a half hours a day. It's just the way that it is.
Yeah, you just, yeah.
The other part of that is that I do it in the evenings when my kids are asleep, because, you know, today I've spent, it was Saturday, and I spent an hour hosing my youngest down with a hose pipe because he wants to play water games in the garden, and we've just been being silly this afternoon, and I should have been getting on with the tutorial, but that was far more important, so it'll just have to wait.
Well, that's exactly why I said, okay, so in the last podcast episode, if anyone had listened, I said, actually, no, it wasn't the last one, it was two ago, because it was with Rob Baker-Gall. I said how I was going to take the summer off of baking. I was going to categorically refuse to do any baking on a hot day for the school or anything, because the last two summers, I managed to always coincide with a heat wave.
Yeah.
And then I was hurting myself with stupid errors because I was baking my brains. So I said this summer I was going to do skill building, and I bought myself like a bunch of mini cake cards so that I could do things without having to commit to an actual edible. Like I was going to do some, you know, some Valerie and Christina type buttercream. You know, stuff I've watched the videos for. I was going to try painting with royal icing the way Dawn Parrott does. I was going to do some of these things. I am now realizing it is August 24th, and I have done none of that. I have had what I called this summer, started calling it and have my hashtag, is craftcation, because what I've been doing is almost every day I've done a craft with at least one of the children.
Yeah.
Ranging from with the six-year-old putting beads on pipe cleaners and making butterflies to the 13-year-old and I are making epic paper and cloth mache dragons.
Super.
They're huge. And we're already facing the fact that they are not getting done. And she's going into year nine, so she's going to be choosing GCSEs and all that stuff. She's not going to get it done. Like, it's not happening.
It's not going to happen. But it was good fun whilst
it was good fun.
She did it. I've been decorating the boys' bedrooms. That's what they've done.
Oh, that's amazing.
Summer.
Yeah. So I've done no cake skill stuff that I promised us. That birthday cake I promised, I even mentioned on the podcast back last November after CX. My birthday's at the end of November. I put out a bunch of tools, including your dinky doodle pen. Stuff that I had that I hadn't used or hadn't used enough. And I was going to make myself a two-tier square cake so that I had all those surfaces could each be, I use a different tool.
Yes, that you could, yeah.
And I was going to pull stuff out of boxes that I bought and never used, and that cool mat that someone gave me, the texture mat that I've never used. And I got everything out of their boxes, and I washed everything, and it was all ready to go. And then I got sick, and then the kids got sick, and then it's been one thing after another, and now it's August, and the bucket of expensive imported chocolate satin ice that's sitting beside me, its use-by date is now.
Oh, well, no one was
going to
eat it. You'll be fine.
Well, it's only for in the house anyway. So if it smells fine, I'll probably still eat it. Like, it's not going, it's not sale cake. But, like, am I going to do that cake?
It's sugar. It's never going off.
Oh, no. The chocolate one will grow mold.
Yeah.
Because the chocolate one is like, that's why I like it. Because it doesn't taste like fondant. It tastes like chocolate.
Yeah.
So, and I paid a small fortune for it. So it is sealed.
You will
be eating it. Yeah. No, because I'm immune compromised. I can't risk. But no, it's really, I need to do that cake this week.
Yeah.
But am I going to then do something on every surface, or am I going to finish a dragon?
I know that. Well, the dragon's going to win every time. Or you'll end up doing something entirely different, but it'll still be kid related.
It might be that I just make the square cake and I do one or two panels and let the 6-year old do whatever she wants on
Let them use the impression mat.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the particular impression mat, it's the Claire Bowman Day of the Dead one.
Yes.
Which I want to be careful with, because I'm aware that this could fall into cultural appropriation territory, And I don't want to be disrespectful, but it's also pretty skulls. So it's like, I need to be careful about how it's used.
Yes, but it is a good one.
Because I when that came out, I coveted it. I publicly said, I want this. I have no reason to have it. And a bunch of my non-cake friends are like, you should just buy it. And as a joke, I said, if we raise, I think it was like at least 100 pounds. I mean, most of it was Americans, but yeah, raise 100 pounds for the Cambridge Food Bank.
Yeah.
I'll buy it. And like three or four of my friends threw in $25, which then ended up being 100 pounds. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'm buying it. And I have this recipe I paid for someone's PDF on how to make clear cake lace.
Oh.
I know, and I've been wanting to do it. This is what I'm saying. This is supposed to be my cake where I do all the things that I've purchased to want to do. So I was going to make like sort of a rainbow marbled clear cake lace with the strip of the skulls, and it's so pretty. And I thought then that's not being culturally appropriating. That's just pretty.
Yeah.
Right?
No, exactly. Yeah.
So, because sometimes with Day of the Dead stuff, you see people do stuff and it's like, it's not Halloween.
Yeah.
Don't use it as Halloween. So that's what I was just going to make like a one side was just going to be roughly transparent lace.
That would be very cool.
Yeah, but I have to actually do it.
Yes, you do actually have to get on with it.
So I took it out of the package and I washed it and I set it to the side, but it's now, I'm turning my head away from the microphone, which is not good audio, but it's sitting behind me. It's been sitting out for 9 months, which means I need to wash it again because it's dusty.
Well, yeah, that's really not good.
Which is even stupider is above me on the other side is its package. All this time I could have put it back in the package.
Oh, no.
But I've been telling myself every week for 9 months, I'm going to make this cake this week, and then I don't make it.
Well, when I see you in November, I'd like to see pictures of the cake that you've made and finished, please.
So now I have to do it. Okay.
Yes.
Or you get to, like, whip me with a wet vermicelli noodle.
No, that would surely be contraband.
It'd be verboten in the entire floor.
Don't think they'll let me in the building with any vermicelli noodles.
Oh, my God. Do you know how much I want now there to be, like... I don't have a video podcast, but if I did, I would now be recruiting someone to make it look like there was a drug deal going on in the back corner with like a package of egg noodles. I'm really inappropriate and bad.
Not at all. I'm with you on that one. I'd be in the corner dealing it.
So. If I do a video podcast, you are now officially recruited. But yeah, okay. So you don't know if you're demonstrating.
I do.
Oh, you do? But are you allowed to say? Probably not.
Well, it's a choice of three, and I'm letting them decide, so they haven't yet decided. But I'm on at 12, I think it's either 11:45 or 12:45 on Saturday on the Renshaws Pro Theatre.
Oh, okay. All right. So that's where I'll be then.
Yes.
Well,
because you may well only be able to catch me there on the Saturday this year.
Ooh.
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 I've got a stand. I booked my stand. So Dinky Doodle stuff will be there, but I will only be there in person on Saturday.
And you're sneaking off.
So it's back to that family thing again.
Right.
We've now got 2 weeks half term in October, but it leads right up until that weekend of Cake and Snack.
Yes.
Would it be in the earlier weekend? And then on Monday, the 4th of November, me and Paul fly out to Australia, where I'm headlining at Cake, Bacon, Sweet Show. And then the week fly straight from Australia to Manila in the Philippines, where Valerie and Christina have got their cake show.
Oh, right, yes.
So I shall be away with Paul for about 20 days. So the boys are with the in-laws and with my mum and stuff, but I'm not going to be around. So the last thing I want to do is spend another 3 days away from them.
Right.
And if I'm at a cake show, the prep, planning and prep, you know what goes into cake show and being there. So basically I'm getting my stand ready now and products ready now so that it can literally be loaded up by somebody else. Ready to go in November.
Well, that's cool.
But if it's not ready by the end of September, it's not going, basically.
Right. Yeah, so anyone who wants to chat with you should come find you Saturday.
They should come find me Saturday. Yes, they'll be able to buy whatever they want all weekend.
Right.
So my faithful assistant, B, who is always at cake shows and works incredibly hard, she'll be there all weekend. She said she'll run it, which is great. But yeah, I need to be with my kids.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to leave them for another weekend. And what will invariably eat up into that 2 weeks beforehand. So we're going to do loads of day trips instead, and I'm just going to switch off. And then I will turn up on Saturday, do my bit, and go home and be with my kids again.
Well, that's really cool.
Thank you.
I think that's
important. It's going to nearly kill me. And not because I don't want to be with my kids, but it's just not like me to not be at CI. It feels really weird.
Well, you'll get some FOMO, but then you'll actually feel more relaxed. I mean, having had to not go to the Austin show for the last couple of years, as it gets up, I'm like, I keep thinking, should I go? Should I go? Should I go? Because the FOMO is really bad. And then when you're not there and you're doing something more relaxing and there's a little bit of, this is nice.
Yes, this is okay. And I'm really looking forward to the Austin show next year because I'm going.
Yes, I've heard. I didn't know how public. I know.
Well, that's all we'll need to say. We'll just tease people.
Yes.
I know.
Yes, I do. I know more than anyone thinks.
Yeah. I'm very, very, very excited to be at the Austin show.
Yes.
Very, very excited.
Again, which gives me FOMO about it. Although I've said, recently announced, again, not a political podcast, but Elizabeth Warren has said that if she's elected, she will immediately overturn the Muslim ban, which is what I'm boycotting over.
Good.
Because I'm not Muslim, but I'm not going to be one of those people who doesn't stand in solidarity.
Yep.
So that's why I'm boycotting the travel. So that means if she gets elected, I don't have to wait for her inauguration. I believe that she would actually get rid of it. And I would immediately be booking flights.
Super.
Yes. However, that's not this year.
So, no.
No. So when the election is, it will be in 2020.
I know. But you're going to miss out on really, really exciting things.
I know. Some of which you don't even know what they are, but I know what they are. Right.
I can't wait. It's going to be good fun.
It is going to be fun. Okay, so let's do a quick recap of stuff people should go shopping for with your stuff. There's
anything Dinky Doodle related, because it's been made with love, care, and attention. Everything but the airbrushes is made in the UK. Trying to sustain other small businesses. I am a one-woman show, folks. So everything that you see is done by my fair hands, whether that's picking, packing, from the inventing through, you know, making a product from a drawing on a page through to a working product. It's all done just to make your guys' lives so much easier and hopefully won't break the bank either. You need to be looking at classes. I do classes all over the world. When I'm coming out to Austin in February, I should be advertising a whole heap of classes for the West Coast of America for August 2020. So that's pretty exciting. That's an exclusive, actually. Nobody knows that yet, Kim.
Ooh.
I know. Yes, there'll be all sorts of stuff coming out there. Just don't make me have to go back and do a proper job for a living. So whether it's you liking the Facebook page, interacting on Instagram, or just if you see me at a cake show, come and say hi and bring me a cup of tea, because I never get to go for a cup of tea break. So yeah, I like it with milk and one sugar, or a latte in the morning would be nice too. That's about me caught up, really. It's all about tea and coffee.
But okay, so we got the purse cake things, which, like I said, I own but haven't used yet.
Carry handbag kits. We've obviously got the airbrush, all the accessories. I'm coming out with new stencils, and there might be just a few exciting things in the pipeline for the beginning of next year.
I'm so excited, and I really want you to come back on and tell us all about it when they're on.
Oh, you will be the first to know.
Oh, I feel so important.
You are important.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know I worship you.
Oh, bless you. Honestly, it's an absolute pleasure. I know we've been talking about doing this for a while, but it's lovely to properly catch up with you, actually, because whenever I see you, I'm at a cake show and I'm dashing here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah, we're both.
You're dashing here, there, and everywhere. Yeah. Or
you're demonstrating and I'm recording
you. We're at Cake Masters where we can't hear each other. So.
Yes, that was shouting over Cake Masters. Or I'm recording you at your demo.
Well, yes.
So.
Yes, you're usually recording something.
It's because I'm justifying my reason for being there.
I just always worry what I'm then going to say, because it's like, oh no, she was recording that.
Yeah, but I edit it. I very rarely put anything cheeky in, and usually if I do, it's by Rosie Cake Diva.
Yeah, well, yes.
But I check first. I check first. Anyway, it's been great having you on, and thank you for taking time out of your non-cloned, incredibly busy schedule to join us.
Absolutely anything for you, Kim. Aww. It's been no trouble at all, and an absolute pleasure. Whilst my house is now in darkness and everybody has gone to bed, I'm going to go and grab another cup of tea and see what jobs I can get on with.
Yes, and not get any sleep, because why would you?
Well, of course. Well, who needs sleep? Sleep's for wimps.
Well, one day we're all going to find out Dawn was a robot all along.
Well, you'll wonder why that I'm, such a genius with movement and mechanics. It's because,
that's how you
actually
move.
I run on Duracell battery.
This explains a lot.
I am the Duracell battery.
I'm going to go back and find where you said thump, thump, thump from Prince William's boots, and I'm going to put it under you saying that you're the Duracell bunny.
It's just a shame you don't have video for that, because I reckon we could find a great little video of me whizzing about somewhere.
Well, I'm going to link to all of your social media accounts, and obviously
do you need any of those, or have you got all of those?
I think I have them all. If I'm missing anything, I'll hit you up. But I'll link to a picture of the Einstein cake, and to if I can find the link to the video of the helicopter thing, so we can all see how amazing you looked and not care about your hairpins. And because everyone's going to go, "Oh my god, this is amazing!" No one's going to go, "Oh yeah, well her hair." No, like nobody's doing that.
So well, when they watch it, knowing the story behind it, they'll laugh.
Actually, now people are going to zoom in and see if they can see messy hair.
I know, and honestly, never mind. it's a fun story I tell in class, so it's fine.
Yes. All right. Well, I will let you go. Thanks so much for being on, and I will see you at CI, if not before.
Yeah, you will. It's been an absolute pleasure, Kim. Thank you very much. Nice to talk to you.
Thanks so much. Talk to you later.
You're very welcome. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
This has been the Eat the Evidence podcast. A warm thanks to all of my contributors, and you can find out more about them and the things discussed on today's episode in the show notes by visiting the podcast section of the Eat the Evidence website, eat-the-evidence.com/podcast. There, you'll find social media links, as well as links to iTunes, Stitcher, and other places where you can subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. I've also posted detailed instructions on how to leave me a Facebook voicemail message and other options to call into the show. Please do feel free at any time to call in your very own cake formation, funny story, talk about a challenge you're having or have recently overcome, or rant about something driving you crazy. And if you like the show, please post a review on iTunes and share it with all of your sugar artist friends. This show was produced and edited by me, Kimberly Chapman. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, you are an amazing artist, and everyone involved with this podcast supports you. You can do it! Until next time, bye-bye, and good luck with whatever you're working on.